A reading from the second book of Kings. When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give death or life that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his skin disease? Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king. "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me, that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go, wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became angry and went away, saying, "I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the skin disease. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" He turned and went away in a rage. But his servants approached him and said to him, "Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more when all he said to you was, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. Then he returned to the man of God, he and all his company. He came and stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Please accept a present from your servant." The word of God for you, the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please rise. The Holy Gospel according to Luke. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 men with a skin disease approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? So where are the other 9? Did none of them return to give glory to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Christ.
May be seated. Grace and peace to you from God Almighty, our Creator, our Christ, and our Holy Comforter. Amen. So let's just state the obvious. We just heard it kind of in our children's message, and we all learned this thing from our earliest days. It's a good thing to be thankful for the blessings of God, thankful for the smallest of gifts, thankful for the most extravagant of gifts, thankful for the beauty of each day. It's good to be thankful. Yeah, and I know, sometimes we forget, we get caught up in the whirlwind of daily activities, we don't acknowledge all the simple gifts that are all around us. But whether we actually act on it or not, we know that it is a good thing to be thankful. So I'll just state that right now, get it out of the way. Because in addition to that message to be learned in today's gospel reading, there's something else going on here, isn't there? Something else going on in this story about Jesus and the 10 people that he heals. There's something going on in this story that has to do with other lessons that we learn as children. Other lessons that we learn and then sometimes have to unlearn as we grow older. Here's what I'm talking about. When I was young, growing up in Galesburg, Illinois, on the corner of Broad and Sanborn Streets, I went to Silas Willard Elementary School. It was just a few blocks away down Sanborn Street. We would walk. It was there that I learned reading and writing and arithmetic and how to play well with others, not unlike most of you, I'm guessing, when you were in grade school. But then by the time I left sixth grade and left that school for another one in the seventh grade, I started to learn a new lesson. How to get along with some people and how not to get along with other people quite intentionally. As seventh grade started and I left Silas Willard, I went to Churchill Junior High School. Churchill. Churchill was one of two junior high schools in Galesburg. There was Churchill Junior High School in my neighborhood, and then there was Lombard Junior High School across town. Lombard. You can tell what kind of school it was just by saying the name. Lombard. What a dumb name, Lombard. As opposed to Churchill, where I went, right? I mean, I'm saying them both with equal inflection, exactly. They're just different. You can tell just by the name that Churchill was a much better place than Lombard. The Lombard team was the Zephyrs. The Lombard Zephyrs. The Zephyrs. What kind of name is that anyway? I don't know. And their school colors were green and yellow. Yeah. Somebody knows Lombard here. You've been there. You get it. We were the Blue Streaks. The Churchill Blue Streaks. And our colors were blue and white. Are there any better colors anywhere than blue and white for any team anywhere? Don't respond to that because I know where you're this happening. Yes. Blue and white, Blue Streaks, green and yellow, Zephyrs. We just hated those guys. We just hated them all, like we were supposed to. And for the next 3 years, we all hated each other, the Churchill Blue Streaks against the Lombard Zephyrs. And then it happened. We all finished ninth grade. And we went from our two opposing schools to the one high school. Yeah, you know where this is going. You can see the mess that's about to happen. We all went together to Galesburg Senior High School. Wait a minute, we're thinking, how's this going to work? They didn't plan this out very well, we were thinking. We can't go to school with them. We are never going to get along with them. Until we did. Started classes together. Started playing sports together. Started playing in the band together. I played trumpet in the band. I found myself sitting right in between a couple of Lombard trumpet players, and you know what I discovered as I was listening to them? They were pretty good. They were pretty good trumpet players, and we sounded actually pretty good together. We actually got along in the band and in the choir and on the school teams and the groups and organizations and in the classrooms. And we had to unlearn everything we had ever learned about those hated rivals from across town. Yeah, you get it. This healing story about Jesus healing 10 people of their skin disease, yes, it is a story of miraculous healing. It's a story about the importance of being thankful. But it's that last line that uncovers the deeper story behind the story. Were not 10 made clean? Where are the other 9? Did none of them return to give glory to God except this foreigner? And there's the rub. This foreigner. Is the only one who returns to give thanks to God. It's like they're all in junior high school. What? This kid from Lombard came to give thanks? What about all these kids from Churchill? What? That, I'll say it. What? This Green Bay Packer fan is the only one who's thankful today? What about all the Vikings fans? Yet, what? This Wisconsin Badger fan is the only one thankful today? Where's all the Golden Gophers fans? Or vice versa, depending on where you're at. But the list goes on. Depending on who we've been trained to be against. And the lines are drawn. We're playful with them. And fun rivalries are okay. I'm not knocking any of that. Minnesota Vikings versus the Green Bay Packers. Kennedy Eagles versus the Jefferson Jaguars. And of course, on a larger scale, when it gets more important, politically conservative versus politically progressive, Democrats versus Republicans, urban lines drawn over and against rural lines. And the list goes on there. Take your pick of whatever the lines are. In today's gospel story, the lines between Samaritans and Judeans. And you know who you're supposed to be for and who you're supposed to be against. It's all clean and clear and logical in our own minds and obvious. It all makes sense until it doesn't, and then it just doesn't work anymore. Earlier in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus told a story about a man who was walking down a road to Jericho. He's beaten up, left for dead. The local priest walks by. He sees the man, ignores the man, and walks on by. The local judge walks by. He too sees the man, ignores the man, and walks on by. But when the hated foreigner walks by, also a Samaritan in that story, he stops and he helps the man. This Samaritan isn't supposed to be stopping to help. The Samaritans, like all of them, greedy, selfish. They're not like us. They don't do things like we do. They certainly don't worship our God like we do. And that's the example that Jesus uses. That's the story that Jesus tells about this good Samaritan, calling into question all their biases and prejudices and assumptions. Just like today's story, although here Jesus doesn't simply tell a story about Samaritans, he actually engages one of them in his healing ministry. What? It's this dreaded Samaritan who returns to give thanks. What about Jesus? own people, what happened to them? Where are they? Well, in their defense, maybe they're just following Jesus' orders, doing what he told them to do when he said, go and show yourselves to the priests. Maybe they're just dutifully following the orders they've been given, focusing on that, unable to focus on anything else. Unlike the Samaritan, who was able to focus on something else. Because in the end, that's the main difference between the Samaritan who was healed and the other nine who were healed. He simply saw what had happened. He was paying attention. Then one of them saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. Who knows? Maybe the others eventually saw that they had been healed too. Maybe the others eventually turned back too. Maybe the others eventually praised God too. We don't know about any of that. All we do know is that this one who is supposed to be an outsider, excluded, not one of us, is the one who acts like an insider. Maybe he is one of us. Who are those people in your life? Who are those people that you learned early on just to keep your distance from? Make assumptions about. Who are the foreigners in your life? We've all got them. Who are the outsiders in your life? We all have them. Who are the enemies in your life? Who are they, and how did they get that way? And what do you actually know about them? And then, as people of faith, we have to ask ourselves, what does Jesus think about those people? What does Jesus want us to think about those people? Is the dying and rising of Jesus bringing new life to them too, or is that just for us alone? Is Jesus involved in their lives? Does Jesus love those people too? Who belongs? Who does not? You know the answer to that. Churchill and Lombard folks all belong. Conservative, progressive, male, female, gay, straight, old, young. The list goes on and on and on. Everybody belongs because God so loved the world. All of us belong. All of us are welcomed by God. And thanks be to God that we are here now, together, thanking God, praising God, all of us gathered together with all the others in the presence of God. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.